Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Laura Canfield Show. Thank you so much for being here. We've had some technical difficulties today, but, you know, we got it kind of sorted out. So it's all good. So today I'm excited. We have a new guest with us, first time on our show. Maya Boston is here with us, and we're going to be talking about Return to the Beginning. And we're going to be talking about gongs and music and sound healing and, you know, Lemuria and who knows what else, you know, so I'm so excited. And so if you don't know Maya Boston, I'll tell you a little bit about her. Or maybe I'll get Maya to tell you a little bit about herself, because as you can tell, my voice is like not quite there. I might lose my voice today. It seems like, we'll see. But she's from Australia. She's an international light language channel speaker and teacher, and she facilitates workshops around the world focused on lessons from Lemuria and self-love, combining her unique skills as a gong practitioner and light language channel. She's empowering people to open up to more of who they truly are. Yay, we love that. And during her gong sound bath sessions, Maya channels light language and translates it into sound, harmonizing her three gongs to create a multidimensional soundscape. These sounds, together with the light codes, help restructure our energy patterns so that we remember the multidimensional nature of our being, because we are. So I'm going to get Maya to finish up with that, and then we're going to go into our topic for today, which is Return to the Beginning. So Maya, thank you so much for being here, first of all. And so sorry about the technical glitches today. Never happened. First time for everything, I guess. So can you, because it's your first time with us being on the show, can you just share a little bit about who you are, your story, how you got started with both light language and the gongs, and I guess, you know, being a sound healer and a facilitator? Can you tell us a little bit about your story?
Sure, I'd love to. And thank you so much for having me on your show and giving me the opportunity to speak to your community. Started out with the gongs probably over 13 years ago. I first heard the sounds of the gongs, and something just pulled me towards it. I had to find out more about this. I'd never heard anything like it before. Mm-hmm. And in a very short space of time, I started to learn how to play the gongs, if there's such a thing. It's learning for me. But what was happening was I was remembering a past life where I played gongs. So the learning was really more of a remembering of how to play. And really my teacher just threw her hands up in the air and said, "I've got nothing to teach you. You already seem to know how to do this." But the first time I got in front of a gong and sort of held the mallets to play the gong, my arms just started to move by themselves. And this is when she said, "I've got nothing to teach you." So I didn't even think at the time that I was channeling a past life, but I was. I learned later on in the process that this is what I was doing. And all of these little pieces, who I am today and all the different things that I do, sort of came over across a space of time. They didn't come all at once. So I started with the gongs. And then I slowly started to remember about Lemuria, and then the teachings from Lemuria came through, and the light language started, and then my connection to the Star Mother who was in Lemuria at that time, and all of that was just like pieces of a puzzle that just kept falling into place, and I was starting to really see the bigger picture of what I should be doing, what I will be doing, mm-hmm. And am doing, and so this is it's been a journey, rather than a destination. So I think I won't stop learning. I don't think the new information will stop coming through, and I'll just keep growing with it.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And, you know, I think nowadays it's all about the journey. We don't really know what the destination is anymore, right? It is about the journey. And, you know, the first time I heard gongs being played, I was at a concert in Canada, and this guy was playing the singing bowls, right, and the gongs. And I remember, I mean, it's still like I get chills. You know, when he started playing the gongs, I was transported to I don't even know where. But that was more of a transported to another galaxy, dimension. I have no idea. It was like, oh my God, I've never heard something so beautiful, right? It was like, that is amazing. And what it did to my system, right? To my energy and to my body and everything. It was like, wow, that's amazing that you can create such a shift using these types of tools, right? And so when I was listening to yours earlier today, I felt like I was going so deep into the ocean, you know, and just deeper and deeper and deeper into the ocean. And it also felt like I was going deeper and deeper within myself.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
It's quite different. It's a quite different tone and different sound than just the crystal singing bowls and things like that. It's like, it's totally different. It's amazing. So I'm so glad that you're here to share that with us, and also to share your own journey about, you know, finding out about Lemuria, you know, and then channeling the light language, all of that coming in. And it is a process, isn't it? It doesn't just happen just like that.
Yes, it certainly is a journey and a process, and it's giving yourself the time and the space to allow these things to come in as well, and allowing your body to process, because they're new energies that you're taking on. So you're allowing your body to process these energies and to then begin to embody all of that is coming in, and that is part of you. So it's really honoring yourself and sitting with it. And I know that's really difficult for a lot of us, because we say, oh, we don't have time, I'm too busy, I work a lot, I'm tired, you know, we always have some kind of story. Mm-hmm. But it really is important now more than ever in 2019 to be doing this sort of work for yourself. And it can be as little as 5 to 10 minutes before you go to sleep. It really doesn't have to be a long length of time. You certainly don't have to be, you know, tying yourself up in knots in all sorts of positions. You just sit quietly and contemplate and take stock of what's going on in your body, you know, with your emotions, what your thoughts are, you know, and where you would like to go with your spiritual journey. It's all a process. And I somehow, you know, as humans, we seem to think it's going to happen magically now, you know, like someone's going to wave a magic wand, and it doesn't. It happens with intention and focus and sometimes determination.
And, you know, it's funny because, you know, we're only in February 6th today, and I know for myself, since the beginning of this year, so much has been changing. I mean, it's like crazy. And I've been meditating so much and doing all sorts of processes. And, you know, so no wonder I'm going through this, you know, cold as well, you know, because it's like a lot, you know, integrating a lot, right? And and then, you know, you have to honor, you know, yourself too, honor your body, because sometimes when we are on this path, we've kind of forget our body. We forget that it has needs too, you know, and it has a few limitations too. It can't, you know, it needs to catch up sometimes, right?
Yeah, exactly. And I talk about the old paradigm, which for me was pre-2012. Mm-hmm. And we in spirituality had this focus of just on the spiritual aspect of ourselves, and the body was kind of left behind. And we, since then, we've got this new understanding in this new human era of our new consciousness. We have this new understanding that we can't leave the body behind. It's got to come with us because we're here having this physical experience. And so it is very important to honor your body and whatever processes you're going through. As you just said, it's been so intense in January of this year because we had those two major eclipses right at the beginning of the year, mm-hmm. and there's no coincidence. There's a reason for that, and as we know, eclipses are like the fast forward buttons. So if you were thinking, for example, I'm looking to move in 6 months' time. Well, the eclipse will, bring you forward, and you'll be, maybe moving house quite quickly. Or if you were looking to change jobs in the middle of the year, you'll probably be finding that you need to be looking for a new job now. So it's a fast forward, and our bodies have to catch up, and that's why we really need to focus on the honoring of ourselves, of our bodies. Because we chose to be here in this physical form and to be in this moment in space and time that we call Earth.
And that's another good point. We chose to be here at this time specifically. So, when you're talking about return to the beginning of what? Is that a time? Is that a time-space thing going on? Where are we, what are we returning to the beginning of? I mean, for me, I think it's like just returning to us, to our core, to our being, right? But what do you mean by return to the beginning?
Well, return to the beginning for me is a return back to Lemuria. Mm-hmm. And Lemuria was about 50,000 years ago. And why Lemuria specifically? Lemuria was the first major human civilization, and it went on for about 30,000 years. And what was so special about Lemuria, and for those who don't know where Lemuria is, it's where present-day Hawaii is. And so what the islands of Hawaii are the tallest peaks of the Lemuria, of what remains of Lemuria. Mm-hmm. What was so special about Lemuria was that we had star mothers who came. They were Palladian, and they taught us a very special way of living our lives, and we lived. If you're Lemurian, you'll have this calling to, for this deep longing for this peace and harmony and balance and the deep, deep connection, that we had in Lemuria. And so it was really like like a manual, I guess, of how to live our lives. Mm-hmm. And we were taught it from a very early age. Children were taught in what we called school, but of course school was not every day like we have today. And we lived this, idyllic lifestyle. And when the island continent sank, it was deliberate as well, because we have this sacred contract with this planet. And so the planet's consciousness, which I call Mother Gaia, responds to us and helps us on our journey as well, just like it's doing now with these energies. And Lemuria sunk so that Lemurians could spread out across the planet, because there was a concentration of, maybe if you could call it or think about it, like a training ground. Mm-hmm. And then the training ground was finished, and then we were dispersed across the planet, and we carried these energies all the way through to Egypt and India, Tibet, and we, of course, some went across to Atlantis, And of course, you know, down in South America, Easter Island is now is being known as Rapa Nui, and as far flung as New Zealand even. So we covered the planet, and this is all in preparation for should humanity ever cross the threshold and wish to go into the ascension process, mm-hmm. that this energy would be here and available to us on the planet now, so that we can remember and know what we need to know to take the first few steps on the ascension process. And so my purpose is, I'm finding when I'm talking to all these different people, is they're drawn to me because they're Lemurians and they want to remember. So I'm reconnecting them back so that to Lemuria, so that when they are living where they are on the planet, they're actually anchoring the Lemurian light on the planet. And it's growing, it's growing. So I'm not the only one, of course, that's working with Lemurian energies, but we seem to be stepping forward. So it's almost like humanity's done this full circle and we've come back to the beginning, mm-hmm. and we're remembering what happened in the beginning so that we can reconnect, because Lemurian teachings were all about oneness. So the connection with self, connection with others, connection with the planet, connection with our galactic family, connection with source. It's all about connection and understanding that we are not separate. Mm-hmm. We are all connected. We're all, you know, interlocked wheels in this larger picture that we're not seeing, because we've gone so far into separation. And now it's time to come back into oneness. So this is my contribution to unity consciousness.
Oh, I love it. I love it. Absolutely. And, you know, I think more and more people are also finding out that they have Lemurian lineages and so on. You know, I mean, I was just talking to somebody last week and she was telling me, oh, yeah. Yeah, you were, you know, you were in Lemuria, you were in Atlantis, you were in, you know, these places and did this and that. And, you know, and I was like, awesome, cool, good to know. And now it's like, all right. And now how can I use that moving forward? Right. So now it's like, okay, so I've always known about these connections and now they're becoming more visible per se, you know, like you can really see them in my DNA and just in my energy field that's there. And, you know, those gifts are starting to come out more and more. And I think that, you know, not just for me, but for a lot of people, they're starting to remember who they really are, what some of their gifts are, and starting to share them more and more. And even though, you know, some people I know still don't believe in Atlantis or Lemuria. It's like, okay. But, you know, for us, it's about, you know, being true to us, right? So what resonates with you, do that, be that. You know, and just focus on service, right? Being of service. How can you be of service? For me, it's always, how can I be of greater service? You know, what else can I do? What else, you know? And I love the part about the oneness and coming back to self and connection, you know? And so I strongly relate to that and resonate with that as well. So I'm going to ask my wonderful audience. Yay, some of you made it. Some of you got the new email, obviously. So how many of you resonate with this and, you know, think that you might have, you know, been in Lemuria at one point or are in Lemuria, you know, now? Just right in the chat. So Allison says, I have been to the Hawaiian Islands twice. Oh, and I've always wanted to go to Hawaii, never made it. I've been to the Hawaiian Islands twice and I had a feeling of being home immediately. Oh, when the plane landed. I loved it. I didn't want to return to my current home. Oh.
Yeah, that's not unusual.
Yeah. Yeah. That's, you know, and I think, you know, for a lot of us, when we go to, for me, it's always been the sea or the ocean, you know, it's like, I just have to be near it. I don't even have to go in it. I just have to see it and be near it. And I am like so calm and so happy and so full of joy, you know? Yeah. It's like, yeah, just take me there, anywhere. desert doesn't do much for me. So it's like, I know I've been, I'm from, you know, have lives in Egypt as well, but it's just interesting how we have done so many different things in our lifetimes, right?
Yeah. And of course, Lemuria was all about the ocean. You know, we were fishing in the ocean. We were swimming in the ocean. We were always at the water's edge, mm-hmm. because from the moment we were born, we had water births. There was a birthing pool, mm-hmm. where women went to birth their children, and it was a water birth, and it was always song. So song and water, because water is like the lifeblood of Mother Gaia. And so we went from the waters of our mother's womb, mm-hmm. into the waters of Mother Gaia, and then the Star Mother was always present at the birth of the children in Lemuria, and you know the child would be presented to her, and you know again it was the connection. She would look into the face of the newborn, and she would recognize the soul immediately. So. Mm-hmm. You know, she took a very personal approach to what happened in Lemuria, to everyday life. Of course, she was she's from an ascended race, so she's, although she was there physically, we have what we called the Mother Mountain, which was the tallest peak on planet Earth, and of course, it was taller than Mount Everest, and it could be seen from space, which is why it was one of the places picked by the Pleiadians to come, mm-hmm. and create a society. And today, you know, most of that mountain's underwater, and that's a scientific fact. But we had the Mother Mountain, and she lived up on the Mother Mountain because the water, the temperature was more conducive to her biology, because she came from a planet that's further away from the sun than we are from ours in this solar system, mm-hmm. and of course she was uncomfortable in the heat of the day, but because she has had her biology and her DNA working at more than 80%, she was able to bilocate a lot of the time. But there were moments, like for the births, where she was physically present for a short period of time, mm-hmm. and she welcomed the new soul into the physical realm, just as the women did who were there to assist the birthing mother with the birth. And so there was always joy and celebration, song, water, and Star Mother.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
And ancient Egypt, in my recollection of ancient Egypt, it was not a desert back then. It was actually a flourishing place. There was lots of vegetation. Of course, the weather has changed in that area, just like it'll change once more on our planet. Right. And those areas that are deserts will be, you know, flourish with vegetation, and those places that are flourishing with vegetation will become deserts. You know, there was a whole civilization living in that area that shifted specifically because the weather changed, and there was no food or shelter left, and a desert, mm-hmm. started to take over the vegetation. So then there was no climate change. There was no greenhouse gases back then. So, you know, it's just part of the shifting and changing system that this planet is. It's a dynamic system. It changes as it needs to change with the various energies and complying with human consciousness as well. So this is why we get the changes, and we forget that we're inextricably connected to this planet.
Yeah. And so, you know, I was just reading what Lynn was saying. I was going to ask a question, but I forgot. Lynn says, yes, I feel affinity with oceans, and since I can remember, have been confused and saddened by the unkindness. Yeah. You know, a lot of us are, you know, really sensitive to things that happen on this planet. We're like, that doesn't make sense. How can people be like that? You know, how can we treat other people, animals, you know, the planet so cruelly at times, right? It's like, it just doesn't make any sense because we're not, you know, we're tuning into something else, right? We're not tuning into that frequency. And so, it, you know, all we, you know, it's confusing. It's sad. So, you know, for, it's up to us to focus on the good, right? The caring, the kindness, the, the integrity, you know, and being, you know, all that we can be, you know, right? And raising our vibration in to such a degree that, you know, that will make the difference, you know, that that will overcome some of the not so nice stuff that's going on, right?
Yes. Yes, exactly. And the, I think the idea of feeling sad that something is happening needs to change as well. If we see that there is something, or we see or feel that there is something like that going on, then we hold the highest potential for that. So, so that instead of tuning into the sadness and being on the same level as the sadness, if we could raise our vibration and our vision for this, and keep that up here, that gives this room to grow. Right, so we're not tuning in and participating in what's down here as a lower frequency. We're actually holding a higher potential for it, which gives it room to grow into that. So as light workers, I feel this is the new perspective of how we help the planet, how we help others as well. And not just by raising our own vibration, but by holding the highest potential for others and the planet. And sure, you know, we see a lot of, you know, destruction. I read a statement the other day where it said we're spending billions going into space finding new worlds, whereas we're spending trillions destroying this planet. So it was a bit ironic.
Yeah, that's what we do. Yeah,
but it's because we've lost the connection with the mother. You know, when was the last time you expressed gratitude for the very air that you breathe? You know, because we're on this planet. As I said earlier, we're inextricably connected with this planet. You know, this biology that we have, the skin color, the way the body works. It's all adjusted to the level of gravity, to the distance of our planet from the from our sun, to the magnetic grid, to the crystalline grid, to, you know, to the mix of gases that are in the air, to the vegetation itself that has been created for the sustaining of this biology that we have as humans. You know, because we breathe out and they breathe, the vegetation breathes it in, and then what they breathe out, we breathe in. So there's this symbiotic relationship there already. So when was the last time you were even grateful to the trees and the plants for the beautiful air that you breathe, you know, or the food that you eat each and every day, you know, or the flower that, you know, maybe your rose bush out the outside your front door is giving you, you know, when was the last time you even noticed it? You know, I can be sitting here and I can hear, you know, birds singing outside, or, you know, something going on outside in nature, and I'm aware of nature the whole time. You know, I step out into my garden and I'm aware of the elementals, you know, and how they come round to greet me, you know, as soon as I sit down in my favorite seat and, you know, where I like to do meditation in the summertime. So, you know, when I walk through the garden, I can smell, you know, the sweet scent of various flowers that, you know, I consciously planted just for their scent, you know. And so, you know, it's a whole experience. I'm using all my senses as I walk through the garden, and I'm touching things, and I'm, you know, letting them know that I'm grateful for them being there, you know, and I really love, you know, the sweet scent of the flowers, or, you know, if my strawberry plants are giving me strawberries, and it's like, you know, I make sure that I touch the plant and tell it, thank you, you know, for this delicious strawberry. And I, you know, right there and then I pick it and eat it, you know.
Yeah.
You know, and that's my relationship with the earth. You know, my kitchen scraps go into the garden, you know, to as compost to enrich the soil. And, what are the kinds of products that we're using in our homes? Are they earth friendly? You know, I mean, right down to my toothbrush, which is made of bamboo, you know, I don't use plastic toothbrushes. So that's my relationship with the planet. And I'm always looking at ways to improve my relationship. How can I let go of, you know, something else that, you know, really doesn't resonate with what I'm trying to do with the planet, with how I'm connecting with the planet.
That's beautiful. And, you know, and that's something we all can do more of, right? Just recognizing the contribution that this planet is to us every day. So, like, in my meditations, we always offer gratitude and compassion to Mother Earth and this beautiful planet for all it provides all the time, every single moment, right?
Sure, absolutely. And cool. And we need to get a lot more people doing that.
yeah, exactly. And then, and you know, I think people are shifting to that, you know, which is wonderful. And so having, you know, people like you talk about it, share, you know, it helps, you know, it starts to awaken them to a different possibility, a different way of looking at life and looking at the earth and looking at, hey, this is our home. Are you taking care of it or not? Right?
Absolutely. You know, right down to installing I've installed a rainwater tank, and I collect rainwater for the garden, and, you know, and just all those kind of things, you know, solar powered, water, you know, solar heated water, and, you know, solar power, and all those things that we can, you know, do for our planet to just come away from the system that is really orientated around nothing but gain, you know, financial gain, and at the expense of the planet.
And every little bit helps, right? So sometimes we might think, well, it's a small little thing. What is this going to do? But every little bit helps, and it's our intention as well.
Yes, every little bit helps, you know, and, you know, even changing, you know, your toiletries, you might change it to something that's more organic and sustainable. And you might be also supporting a local business, you know, so that's important as well, you know, to help the community around you.
Sorry.
When I go and do my my grocery shopping, you know, I have a local greengrocer who just sources from local farmers and orchards. It's all grown here around me, and I support his business and therefore also support the farmers in my area, you know. So I think we can all, you know, find out where our nearest farmers markets are, and, you know, because I live in the country, but in the city, you know, there's farmers markets everywhere. They're popping up everywhere these days. So, you know, support your local farmer, you know, because this is your community.
Absolutely. Thank you. And they have farmers markets in every part of the world, you know, so everywhere. So I wanted to talk to you about the gongs as well, right? And so, you know, we talked about them at the beginning, but can you talk about them a little bit more in a way that, like, how does listening to, like, the MP3s, how does that start to shift your energy field? And I know it raises your vibration for sure, but what else does it do?
Great. Okay, so in the ancient texts, it says that there are three major sounds that work with the human body really well. And, like, first of all, the reason why sound works so well with the human body is because water is a great conductor of sound. And so we are more than 80% water, so of course sound works really well for us. The sound starts to work through your chakra and meridian systems, and it goes through, and it's a physical vibration. A lot of people can feel it, and it's sort of shaking things up and bringing things to the surface to be released. So the three major sounds that work with humans very well, of course, logically, the first one should be the human voice. And in ancient Egypt, we did a lot of toning through like a tunnel is the best way that I can describe it, of different widths and lengths into a healing chamber, which, you know, was a resonance chamber, and the sounds of the human voice would just reverberate or, you know, bounce across the walls, and the person receiving the sound would be balanced out. And so that's how we did it in ancient Egypt. The second sound that works really well with humans is gongs. It produces the primordial sound Om, the sound of creation. And the third sound, it might surprise some people, the third sound that works really well with humans is whale song. And it shouldn't surprise us, because we have this wonderful connection and we don't even really fathom the full reason of why we have a connection to whales. But whales are like a backup system on the planet. They're continually, they're mammals like us. They're continually under the water, connecting with the crystalline grid. So they're continually in touch with what's going on the planet. And they're like a backup system. They're in their DNA, they hold all of what is being done by humanity. They hold it in their DNA. So we have this wonderful connection with whales. And then going back to the gongs, I play gongs in a very different way to most people. A lot of people, I don't feel what they're doing when I hear them play. A lot of people, when I hear them play, are playing a sound to me that just rips through me, like a knife would, if you just stuck a knife in me and ripped it through my body. That's how I feel it. And so I started to ask, why am I feeling this, and why do I play differently to what I hear other people doing? And I've been told, and this has been confirmed to me by a couple of people now who are really well connected and have their gifts, you know, fully activated. And the way that I work with sound, and the way that my, because I know I've done this many, many lifetimes in Tibetan life, you know, lifetimes as a Tibetan monk, and, you know, in ancient Egypt and going all the way back to Lemuria, but also I've remembered lifetimes on other planets, and I'm always doing sound. Why is it that I'm doing sound? What, how is it that I'm working with sound? How is that different to everybody else? And about 3 years ago, I was told I'm one of three people on the planet who works with sound in a different way than most people do. And the way, and that was again confirmed recently by somebody else. And it's the way that I'm working with it, it is creating a bridge between the alpha, beta, theta, gamma brainwave states coming into unity consciousness. And also in harmonizing, because I usually work with three gongs and I harmonize them. When I'm harmonizing and I get the, what I call the singing, I hear a singing, because what I hear when I'm playing is very different to what the listener would be hearing when I'm playing. But when I'm playing and I'm in that space, I'm in a meditative space and I'm channeling the light language and I've got the energy coming through and I get very hot, and I hear a song that starts to play in my heart, and I'm translating that into the gong play. I'm also up shifting the frequencies of the chakras in the listener, because we're going to collapse all the chakras into one chakra. It's going to be the heart chakra.
Mm-hmm.
So we're finished with this separating out of chakras and we're going back into unity consciousness. And of course, it can't be all, you know, all these chakras. It's got to collapse into the heart chakra. And of course, the heart chakra is and has always been the bridge between the physical and the spiritual. And so collapsing all of it into the one chakra. So this is what I'm doing when I'm, when you're listening to my gong play and the light language included in there and everything that I embody from my journey and my learning in this lifetime and from past lives, I'm bringing it all together. I'm told this is one of my most important lifetimes because I'm bringing forth the and I am the culmination of all of my previous lifetimes, and it, and I come at this point in time in human history, whether it's on this planet or any other planet that's gone through this ascension process, I come and this is how I'm helping, and then I was told, and it's a thankless job because a lot of people don't recognize what's going on, and I thought, yes, I know, but what I'm doing, some people are ready for it, some people are not ready for it, and for the ones who are not ready, I'm planting a seed, so right. It's not lost. So when they come back in their next lifetime, they will be picking all of this up in their DNA, because that's what we're going to be doing in future lifetimes. We're not going to be reinventing the wheel, as I call it, which we had to, you know, learn how to walk and talk and, you know, and eat and, you know, and all those things where, you know, if we notice the young children today that are coming through, they already know so much. They seem to know by the age of 5 why they're here, you know, whereas us older ones sort of have spend half our lifetimes doing all sorts of spiritual journeys to try and find out what the hell are we doing here?
Mm-hmm. Why are we here? Yeah.
And, you know, a 5-year-old can tell you what their purpose is already. So they're coming through in a very different way. So because they're coming through in this new energy that we have post 2012. So, so I'm planting seeds. So whether it's, whether you choose to open up and be, and make it available to you in this lifetime or whether you're not ready for it, it's still with you and it'll be with you when you come back in the next lifetime. So that's how the gongs, that's how I work with gongs. Mm-hmm. And that's why it's a difference to how maybe other people have perceived gongs, gong play in the past. But, and now all of that's been a journey of discovery as well. I know I can do it. I know there's something there, but to actually find out how and what and why is it working the way it is? Now that was a journey.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I'm sure. And, you know, I was just reading somewhere within the past couple of days that sound healing is the new modality. Is one of the new modalities of the new age, the most important ones, or what, you know, it's like it's an emerging modality, right? And it does wonders, you know, sound and sound, color, and I think there's a third thing, but sound especially makes a big difference. Yeah. And can heal all sorts of different things, right?
Yeah, I actually work once a month with cancer patients, and whether they're going through their treatments or whether they're you know in recovery. Mm-hmm. I do a once a month gong sound bath for them specifically in the city nearby me, and of course there's ones that come every single month. They don't want to miss out because they know it helps them. It's you know, for some people, it helps them lower their levels of pain, so they don't have to take so much, so many painkillers.
Mm-hmm.
So gong sound bath stays with you for 72 hours, so it keeps vibrating inside of you and bubbling things, you know, up to the surface to be released. So I always say to people, for the next 72 hours, make sure you drink lots of water. Mm-hmm. Make sure you honor your body, whether you need to sleep more, eat something in particular, go for a walk, you know, whatever it is. If you need to have an emotional release, mm-hmm. do that in an appropriate way. Right. And then, you know, just allowing it, because it's part of the process. You know, you've come for the treatment, but then as we said earlier, the body's catching up all the time. So
yeah.
The body goes through its process in a 72-hour period after the initial treatment.
Yeah. Wow. And that's amazing to know that, you know, once you're listening to it, it's still staying in your field for 72 hours, right?
Absolutely.
So for those of you who have already subscribed to the Laura Canfield Show, you can always go to the gifts page, and there's a link for Maya's 10-minute gong sound bath, and it's beautiful. Because Verna was asking, will we be able to hear a sample? And Laura mentioned that your website, and it's also on the gifts page as well. You can also find it there.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Awesome. Thank you. So you have some packages that you're offering for our listeners, our viewers and listeners today, right? So for those of you who are on the live page, you can just click on special offer. And those of you who are not, you can go to alara.at/show/Maya. And there's package A, B, and C. So package A consists of like 9 MP3s, right?
Yes. Yep. The first three meditations, they've all got, they're all accompanied by gong sound bath. Mm-hmm. There's 9 meditations there. And, you know, some of them are quite long. And the first three are about reconnecting you back to Lemuria. And even if you're not Lemurian, you're still being connected back to Lemuria, because we have it in our DNA. It's an energy on the planet, and it's available to everybody. So, you know, that beautiful peace and harmony and that deep spiritual connection that we had back in Lemuria, you know, we can all tune back into that. And then the last 6 MP3s are the 6 aspects of the circle of oneness, which was taught to us by the Star Mother in Lemuria. So that's the MP3s. Mm-hmm. And then I've also scheduled a 1-hour group session. Mm-hmm. There's also you can connect to my Facebook private group, which is called Daughters from the Stars, and there's information if you want. I've done videos in there, and it's all talk about Lemuria, and I go into some detail about everyday life in Lemuria. And also in package A's included the beautiful Awakening Waters studio album, which has got not just the gongs but the whale song as well. Mm-hmm. So that's all part of package A, right. and it's all of that for $97.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and do you know when the group call is going to be?
I think I timed it for the end of your season so that everybody has time to to listen through and really have the group call and all the activations and all the MP3s out of package A.
Okay, cool. So that'll be like in May sometime, beginning of May or something.
Yes.
Awesome.
That's right.
Cool. Yeah. Awesome. And then there's package B, which includes everything in package A, as well as a 60-minute personal session with you.
Yes, you get a personal session with me, 60 minutes. And if you have questions, if things have come up for you as a result of listening to the MP3s, or, you know, whatever's come up for you, you know, you get that personal session with me, and often it includes a meditation and activation and light language as well in the personal session. And then there's also another studio album, which is called The Quickening. And this time it's gongs, and it's also me toning and doing light language. So there's two tracks in that studio album. Mm-hmm. And the first one is The Restoration, and they're both about 20 minutes long. The Restoration, and then the second one is called Center Return. I've just had so many comments about that, because again, it was another piece in the puzzle to actually find the courage to step forward and use my voice.
Nice.
You know what, if you can go ahead and use it. I mean, we all have different gifts, right? And this is the time now, especially about sharing your gifts, stepping up and sharing. And, some people will get it, some people won't get it. It's okay, right?
Absolutely. And while I was in the recording studio, recording this album, and my intention was, okay, I'm going to channel these sounds that you're giving me, because I was literally being pushed in the back to, come on, step forward, do it.
Right.
While I was making these sounds and tones, I started to have visions of ancient Egypt and how I was doing it in ancient Egypt, as I said earlier, through these tunnels of different widths and lengths to give us different, the different sounds into the resonance chamber. So I thought, okay, this is where I'm getting, this is where it's coming from. It's coming from ancient Egypt, nice. That one.
Yeah.
But as I said, the human voice, it's what we've always resonated with. We hear it even before we're born, because we're continually listening to our mother's voice, while we're inside her womb.
Absolutely. So package B is 147, and then there's package C, which includes everything in package A, everything in package B, plus a 15-minute personal gong sound bath track.
Yes. Now this is the exciting part.
Yes, I have questions about this one too. It's like, what? It's like, yeah, I want to hear about this.
I love doing personal gong sound bath tracks, because I'm tuning into your higher self, and I'm bringing forth the light language and the light frequencies and codes that, that your being requires. And I'm doing this through the gongs. I'm doing this through the light language in your track. I'm doing it through the sounds that I'm also making on your track. So I guarantee it to be at least 15 minutes long. It's specifically tailored to you. I will also speak to you in your personal session, what you would like me also to include in the track. So there's intentions for whatever you wish me to focus on.
Mm-hmm.
And then whatever else is for your highest good is what I bring in. With the light codes as well. So this is just especially for you. It's unique to you. Nobody else has another track like it, and it's yours to keep forever, of course. So I've had so much response when they first said to me, you've got to put this out there. I went, what? Why? Mm-hmm. Who'd want that?
well, yeah, and that's the question. It's like, okay, so why would we want a personal track? How would that benefit us?
So the benefits are that it helps you go through the changes that you need to change, because I'm channeling from your higher self.
Right.
And so your higher self is telling me what you need and where you need to go. So, and as we know, the higher self always works for our highest good. And so the benefits are all the changes that you need to go, all the directions that you need to be steered in, all the things that you need to let go of for you to be able to evolve to the next level of your being and beyond. And the response, I was really surprised with the response, because, I didn't think this would be a thing, but I've been encouraged again by people who know about how my gongs and how my sound baths work, and they've thoroughly encouraged me to keep going with this. And I, one person even channeled how my higher self was like, you know, and don't stop doing this, because again, we're planting seeds in people. Even if they're not ready for the change, the seed is there. Their highest potential is available to them, and we're giving them room to grow. Mm-hmm. So it's like, okay, that's what I'm doing with these, and specifically tailoring these. And you know, these personal gong sound bath tracks are not just something, you know, that takes me 5 minutes to create. They take me hours to create for each person. I craft them and create them with mm-hmm. the highest, you know, with their highest good, with their highest good in mind, mm-hmm. As I'm channeling for them and everything that they need at this point in time for their evolution.
And then how often would they listen to that?
As often as they feel they need to. Mm-hmm. As often as they feel they need to, you know, some people are going to sleep with them, you know, with their earbuds in and, mm-hmm. and listening to their gong tracks. You know, some people are meditating with them. Some people, you know, have just got them on their phone so that they can listen to it anytime they feel they need to during the day. It's however many times you feel you need to until your body has integrated all the, you know, all the light codes and information that's embodied in the frequency transmissions.
Mm-hmm. Awesome, thank you. Yeah, that, I mean, for me, that piece sounds fantastic. You know, the personal, the 15-minute personal gong bath track. You know, it's like something specifically for me, for my highest good, from my higher self, is giving you the information that you're tapping into. And it's, you know, to somehow make my journey maybe a little bit easier so that, you know, as we're integrating, as we're, you know, continuing to move forward, you know, we don't always have to struggle or or be affected yeah. by stuff like this, right?
As exactly. Much. Exactly. We need to let go of the idea of struggle and that we can actually flow into the next change, you know, because we struggle when we have resistance, and we need to let go of the resistance to change. And I think that's really what 2019 is all about. People, you know, if they thought that 2018 was shocking and distressing, mm-hmm. and you know, a lot of change happened, and then be prepared, you know, brace yourself for 2019, because we've started the year off, as I said earlier, with these eclipses, and there is nothing but change. And I put out in my newsletter the other day, it's like they didn't just turn it up one notch, which is what they've been doing kind of gently in the background for us each year. They've right. turned it up several notches this year, and it's all in preparation for 2020. Which, of course, is going to be huge, absolutely massive. We've got this massive planetary lineup happening that we haven't seen in a long, long time. Mm-hmm. And also there's a lot of talk about full disclosure by governments and other you know, companies and multinationals and so forth. Absolute massive changes next year, which is why we're kind of being hurried along this year in preparation for everything else that's going to happen next year. In some places, I've heard people talking and saying 2020 will actually be seen as the first official year of the new human consciousness era. Wow. That since 2012 up until then, though those 8 years in between, they are just in preparation. It's the build up to what is actually going to be the first year, or the first official year of our step onto, you know, our stepping onto the ascension process.
Wow. I mean, as I'm just thinking about since 2012, all the stuff that I've been through. I was like, oh my God.
But we've had to like get, you know, make room by letting go of the old and so that we could bring in the new, you know, and mm-hmm. they know we can't do it all at once. We would absolutely just frazzle, you know, our brains would just freak out, you know, if we did it all at once. So it's kind of been a push. And those of us who are awakened and who have tools and we know how to, you know, we all know how to cope with these changes, we're all feeling them and going through the process mm-hmm. The best that we can, but we have tools. And so my compassion is for those who have chosen not to be awake at this point in time. How much harder is it for them? They don't understand what's going on. They don't want to understand, but they don't, you know, first and foremost, they don't understand. And so how much harder is it for them? And so this is why we're seeing an escalation in violence in our communities, because people are lashing out. I mean, how much pressure and trauma will their resistance take before it cracks and opens them up and allows them to ask the question, okay, well, what do I do now? Where am I supposed to go now?
Mm-hmm.
You know, because yep. they haven't been open to change before that point. So that's where my compassion is. So if I'm watching the evening news and seeing all this stuff going on around the planet, I'm just sending everybody involved compassion mm-hmm. because they're doing it tough. You know, if we think we're doing it tough, they're doing it much tougher.
Yeah, and we have the tools that to help us, yeah. you know, and
we do.
They don't, right? They don't even know that there are the tools exist for them, right?
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah.
They don't know help's out there.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, I mean, I know for myself, 2018 was a really tough year. But I heard 2019 was going to be nicer. I was hoping 2019 was going to be nicer. It's like, no.
Well, if you've been doing your work, and especially like this last eclipse mm-hmm. Season that we had in January, if you've been doing your clearing work, then it's going to get lighter. It's going to start to flow. You're actually going to start to see it.
Yeah.
It's not to say that there won't be challenges, but it's going to be easier. But for those who have not been doing their work, you know, it's going to be, you know what happens when we don't listen to the little yep. nudges that the universe gives us, it kind of starts to amplify
Absolutely.
The nudges until they're a big kick up the behind. So
that's true. So your, you know, the 9 meditation MP3s can help us with that, with the changes, with the God knows what 2019 is going to bring, right?
Absolutely, because they're reconnecting you with the Lemurian energy, and they're talking about and taking you into the circle of oneness teachings and into unity consciousness, that we are all one and we have this connection. We're not separated out like we think we are mm-hmm. in this current illusion, and so that's what they're going to be helping you with. And of course, there's the gong sound bath that accompanies all of the guided meditations, and that, you know, backs that up for you and really helps you to process them, these concepts that I'm bringing forward now, because it's important. If we're going to unity consciousness, then everything has to unify and we have to start somewhere. So this is where I'm starting
mm-hmm.
and
yep.
helping people into
awesome.
Unity.
Yes. So I'm just going to ask if anybody has any questions. Maybe I didn't mention this at the beginning, but feel free to write it in the chat, or if you're feeling brave, you can raise your hand and come on screen and ask away. I was just going to ask you really quickly, Maya, I know you do light language as well. So is there any message that Mother Earth or the consciousness of Lemuria has for all of us as we're moving forward into 2019?
Sure.
Putting you on the spot, I know.
I know. It's okay.
I love light language. It's like, I want to hear some.
Okay. I a kani a aho no e ao e na aho no tu ne kensho no e ki no a ale a na kulo a mahani e la no kale aho no e a kani e o le hanake maha o aina ho aina ho e kane o ane ho e a ho a le la o kanu e amu ko te te. The star mothers say there is a joy and a celebration that is beginning to happen. For all of 2019 is in preparation for the coming year after it, as you call it in your calendar. For this is the year that we will be connecting with you, that we will make ourselves known, our presence known on the planet. We have been here from the beginning, from the seeding of humanity. We have always been with you and anchored this energy. And throughout the history of humanity, we have come and gone to help various civilizations to guide humanity, to remind humanity of who you truly are. Multidimensional beings of light, remembering your divinity. And so we celebrate and we are overjoyed to see that so many are now beginning to discover, are looking for, seeking answers to the reconnection, the unity that has always existed and always will, but that has been for a time forgotten. They're presenting me with this image, and it's a, when we're born with a bowl of light, and as we grow, our bowl of light gets filled with stones to the point where the bowl is so heavy that we don't even see the light anymore. And now what we're doing is we are beginning to remove the stones out of our bowl so that we can have our light shine again so purely into the world again. So they are celebrating and they're joyful and they're encouraging, and 2019 is the lead up to full disclosure next year, where they will start to show themselves. They will start to show themselves. So there are 12 places on the planet, 12 nodes. I mean, we've all heard about Mount Shasta because that's like the most popular one. It's been written about so much. But there are 11 other such places on the planet, and they will the Lemurians and the Palladians, as they are in Shasta, they are also in these other 11 places, and they will come out and show themselves. So, of course, we have one here in Australia, of course, Uluru at the centre. In the Southern Hemisphere, we also have Table Mountain in near Cape Town, South Africa. We have Lake Titicaca on the Bolivia side in South America. We have Machu Picchu in Peru. So they're the four in the southern hemisphere. Oh, sorry, and New Zealand is the fifth. Mount Shasta in the US and Mount Ida in near Hot Springs, Arkansas. Then you also have one in the Yucatan in Mexico. Where else is it? Oh, Glastonbury in the UK, where I was last year. So that's another one. And the Star Mother appeared to me there as well. So we've got all these places on the planet, and we're going to have a greater connection with our Palladian Star Mothers following next year. So don't be surprised, you know, there was a time when, you know, when the space programs from the various countries that were doing them back in the 60s, you know, they signed a non-disclosure agreement. But of course today we've got other countries that have made it out there with their space programs, and they are seeing exactly the same thing as what was seen in the 60s out there. So don't be surprised in hearing about, you know, the presence of you know, our galactic family on the planet next year, because you know, these new countries are not bound by the non-disclosure agreement.
Right.
So it rather than a space race, you know, it'll be a race as to who will disclose first, you know, and who's still in fear about disclosing the presence of our galactic family on our planet. They've always been here since the time of the seeding of humanity, right through to Lemuria and right through to the present day. They're still here because they're holding that higher potential for us so that we can grow into it. And that's why they have sacrificed their own lives, and they've come to our planet, and they exist in quantum states in these 12 power nodes, as I call them, on the planet.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. Oh, wow. It's just so mind-boggling to think that, you know, 2020 is next year. You know, it's not that far, you know, 10 months.
I know.
Right?
I know.
And it's like,
I'm excited.
Who knew? Who knew that it was going to, you know, suddenly that time is here? You know, it's like, even now, it's like, where are we at in you know, the in the new consciousness, right? It's like we're here now, you know, and and so part of that is like I think there's a quickening happening this year, isn't there? Oh wow, one of your CDs is called The Quickening.
Yeah, duh.
Oh, just got it. Yeah. Okay. I'm a little slow today, but just got it. But there seems to be a quickening happening, right? Since last year, for sure. Last year, this year, maybe the year before that as well. This quickening happening, leading us to 2020 and beyond. And whether people know about it or not, it's still happening, right? So there are more and more people searching and looking for answers and trying to figure out, who am I? Who have I been before? What are my gifts? What's my purpose? Why am I here, right? And how can I serve?
Yes. Exactly. And so, you know, if I'm getting the message that they're going to be showing themselves, then they must also deem that it is time for this to, for us to reconnect to our galactic family. So, and they would know more than we do. So
right.
I'm thinking, okay, so you reckon it's time. Okay. I'm open.
I wonder how it's going to show up. You know, it's like, this will be interesting to see how it shows up. And, you know, it'll be, you know, it's never happened before. So it'll be like, wow, right?
Exactly. You know, but we didn't, you know, back in Lemuria, when I remember, and we didn't blink an eye that, you know, we had a different looking being with us. We, you know, we just accepted it. It was just, you know, it was just normal. Back then, because she was continually present in our everyday life in so many different ways. So we didn't blink an eye at her presence at all. So I think, you know, that's where we're coming back to this full circle, to the center return.
return to the beginning.
Exactly, return to the beginning, because, you know, it's like, and surely, you know, through our mainstream movies and things that are going on, mm-hmm. we've been primed for it, you know, ever since Star Trek and Star Wars and yeah. E.T., you know, everything else that's gone, you know, Predator and everything, you know, that's gone through, that we've seen on our, you know, movie screens has been preparing us for you know, for full disclosure. So I think that there'll be a lot of people like me who'll go, yeah, bring it on.
Yeah, I think so too.
There'll be other people that are like the other extreme, because there's still people that believe we never landed on the moon.
Right.
They say a Hollywood trick. So, you know, so they'll think, oh, yeah, this is, again, some kind of Hollywood special effects. Yeah. And then there'll be those that are in the middle that don't know what to make of it and how it benefits. And yeah, they may, you know, start to realize that there's a lot more to it than even we, you know, could possibly imagine.
Absolutely. But,
I know that there's a big kind of build up by the Star Mothers, because it's like, yay, they're finally getting there.
Good. You know, I'm excited.
It's a bit like watching your child, you know, taking its first few steps, you yeah. know, and then, yeah, it falls down, but then it, you know, picks itself up and it starts to take some steps again, you know. So this is what they're doing. They've had this, you know, policy of non-interference, because we're here, you know, we've got free will, but they're kind of like, you know, our cheer squad going, yeah, come on, you can do it, you can do it.
But we're slowly getting there.
And they're waiting, you know, with their arms open, is what I can see, you know, just like a mother would, you know, it's like, come on, walk towards me.
exactly. So Lynn is asking, are there any nodes in places like China, Russia, or North Korea?
Nodes, no. There's one in Bulgaria, and I don't know if I mentioned Hawaii as well. Of course, Hawaii is ground zero.
Yeah.
But no, there's not in Russia, you know, as we know it today, but close by in Bulgaria.
Good to know. So Rena, you're unmuted, and I see Marianne, you're unmuted. Did you have a question?
Nope.
Okay, just checking. All right. And Maureen is asking, what do they look like if you have seen them before, the Star Mothers or whoever else?
Okay. The star mothers that were in Lemuria, because we talk about the seven sisters that came to Earth, and the seven sisters are actually from the seven different galactic races, ascended races. Mm-hmm. There are other races in the galaxy that are not divinely seeded,
right,
and therefore they're not ascended races, but we come, our lineage is from the galactic ascended races. And so the Palladians are very tall and thin. They're much taller than we are. Mm-hmm. Looking at the Star Mother, she almost had like a bluish tinge to her skin. It was very pale, bluish. But if I look at her from a distance, she's luminescent. You know, she's just got all this light around her.
Right.
And she, you know, she talked to us telepathically more than, you know, speaking words, because of course her language is different to ours. When she spoke in her language, it was like a series of clicks and buzzes. But I could always hear the translation in my head and know what she meant. So she spoke to us telepathically, which of course we had this gift opened for us by her presence. And we all, even today, have the capacity for receiving messages telepathically. But since we went into separation, there's a lot of darkness. And so we chose to hide from each other. Of course, when we're open and we're telepathic, telepathically open to other people, then there's no hiding anything.
That's true. I mean, yeah, we can't really hide anything from them. They see right through, you know, like they,
absolutely.
It's like x-ray vision, but you know, more, much, much, much more.
And so she was like, she was up there on the Mother Mountain. And so I always say to people, if you're a Star Trekker like me, and I'm second generation Star Trek, and my parents love Star Trek, and my son's third generation now. When you watch that movie, Star Trek, The Search for Spock, mm-hmm. they show a scene where they're going up the mountain and they're taking Spock up the mountain to the temple. Now that awoke in me in a memory of Lemuria and going up the Mother Mountain to visit the temple and the Star Mother at the top of the mountain. It was a 3-day trek up right. the mountain. And because she preferred to live in the cooler climate. For us, it was too cold up there. We didn't like being up there for long periods of time. And she ate different food to us. She brought with her some kind of, the best way that I could describe it is some kind of superfood that would grow with the, you know, I mean, back then, again, as today, Hawaii is still volcanic. It was very volcanic, more so back then than Hawaii is today. But, you know, you had the geothermal energy coming out of the earth with that activity, and it helped her grow this food that she ate. Because it sustained her body. She didn't seem to need to eat a lot of food, whatever. And I don't think she ate every day either. Whatever this food was that she grew for herself, you know, with the help of the geothermic energies, she only needed a small amount of that, and that seemed to sustain her over several days. Wow. So that's how I remember the Star Mother and her big eyes. I remember her big eyes because I would always see my own reflection in them and just lose myself in her.
Oh,
in her presence. She had a presence as well. You know, I remember feeling very uncomfortable in my skin. It was my first lifetime as a human on this planet. And I remember feeling very uncomfortable in my skin, like I was restricted and I was always trying to break out, you know. And when I was in her presence, I always felt so calm and peaceful when I was in her presence. And so later when I joined the temple, because I was a priestess in the temple, of course I learned to manage and accept the uncomfortableness of the physical form. But as a child and a young girl, before the welcome to womanhood ceremony that we had for women in Lemuria, I always remember feeling uncomfortable and like I want to just break all the rules and be a whole rebel, you know.
I know what that feels like.
I know, I did it again in this lifetime, but anyway.
Exactly. I know what that is. Absolutely. Wow. Oh my goodness. Thank you. Thank you for asking that question. Who was it? Maureen. Awesome.
Thank you, Maureen.
Awesome. Awesome. So, wow. And thank you so much for that light language and then the message from the Star Mother. Thank you so much. That was beautiful. And just knowing, you know, for yourself, how connected you are, to Lemuria, to the Lemurians, to the Star Mother, to, you know, those origins, right? When you are doing your channeling, your light language, working with the gongs, you're bringing all of that in as well, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Yes, I have the, I see them now as a circle of Star Mothers. Mm-hmm. I always call them in as well, you know, like come closer. You know, when I do a gong session for people, because it's helping everybody remember, you know, as I said, we are so much more than we think we are.
And so their energy is also in all the work that you do.
right?
Yes. Yeah. There is no separation. I am that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Beautiful. Thank you. All right. Anybody else have any other questions for Maya about either Lemuria, the gong sound baths, the MP3s, the personal session, the 15-minute personal gong bath MP3 track, which I think is going to, I think I definitely need one. I'm definitely getting one. You know, it's like, I definitely need one because I know there's so much changing and there's so much happening and there's like everything is shifting and, you know, it's like, yeah, I can have more ease for sure.
Oh. Yeah, I know. I saw so many people go through struggles in 2018 and I was like, okay, you know, that's I can see where I'm at and I can see where others are at and it's like, okay, I can help them, you know, with these gong sound bath tracks.
Yeah. I'm glad that you got that inspiration or you were told to create those because I think they'll be really, really, really helpful for people, especially this year. Especially this year, as we're moving forward into 2020, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And I think more than ever, you know, we really need to be listening to the, you know, the prompts from the universe. You know, the our intuition that is like pushing us forward. I know it feels scary to do the change. But please just listen to it and feel the fear and do it anyway, as I say.
Yeah.
Because, you know, sometimes that's the only way I've been able to take the next step. And I've had to trust and trust the information because I think, are you sure they're not going to tell me I'm nuts? You know, because this sounds really out there, you know. It's really woo-woo.
Yeah. It's like, yeah, just do it. You know, I always like, okay, well, you know what? I'm getting this insight or this message to do this. So I'm just gonna do it. I'm just gonna play with it, see what happens, and we'll see. We'll go from there, right? And then, the next thing, and the next thing, and it's like, oh, okay, the next thing, and you know, it's like, all right, well, we'll just do it. You know how?
Yeah. And then it just starts to flow because you know it just flows one into the next, and it is a, you know, because it just becomes this beautiful journey of just moving through one change to the next, you know. So
because life is all about change, isn't it? Especially
it is
now.
It's the only constant.
Yeah,
change.
Exactly. Yeah, change is the only constant. And I remember I used to say that all the time before. It's like, my middle name is change. Everything is changing. Everything is always changing. So it's like, we're just going to go with the flow. Just whatever it is, we'll change it. You know, it's like, all right, let's go.
For some reason, I knew that as a, you know, as a teenager, my favorite saying was nothing stays the same forever. Mm-hmm. You know, so everything changes. Our planet's changing. You know, we are changing, you know, and it's, that's the other thing with sound that a lot of people are not recognizing that the human structure is changing because of these energy influxes that we're getting on the planet. And if our planet itself has upshifted in its frequency, and the frequency is called the Schumann resonance, mm-hmm. If the Schumann resonance has shifted from 8 and to 16 and goes to 32, and I've heard it even up at 64 at some reports. And it's never gone back down to 8, it goes back down to 16 and it sort of sits at around 32 sometimes, depending on the consciousness of what's going on the planet. But if the frequency of the planet itself is fluctuating and is raising itself, then how can this biology that we have that is so inextricably connected to the planet not change? Mm-hmm. And so I talked about the chakras before, I mentioned them, mm-hmm. collapsing into one chakra. But we, at the moment, we are shifting the frequency of our chakras. And the base chakra, for example, is no longer about survival. And if your base chakra is still about survival, then you need to raise the frequency of your base chakra to abundance and thriving. Mm-hmm. That is what the base chakra is about now. And so how can, if the frequency of the chakras have changed and what's going on with them has changed, then it also is logical to draw a conclusion that frequencies of sound in the chakras have changed.
Right.
Okay. So with me, it has never resonated with me to use gongs that are specifically tuned to certain frequencies. It has never resonated with me. And this is another way that I was questioning, like, why is that? And then I worked out, okay, and then it was confirmed for me that it is necessary for different frequencies to come out so that people can grow into the different frequencies, into these new frequencies of their chakras, as opposed to staying where we've always been for millennia.
Wow. Okay. Sounds good. Yeah.
So we're upshifting the chakras as well.
Yeah.
You know, which is the other thing that my gong sounds do for you. So I take you into the new human consciousness frequencies of chakras as well.
Awesome. Beautiful. I love it. Wow. Thank you. Maureen's asking, will we bring back more of the technology that was present in Lemuria next year? Well, I know we are having more and more technology coming through, but from Lemuria, I don't know.
We were a very simple society in Lemuria. Mm-hmm. If there was technology in a society, it would be Atlantis. Lemuria, we went the other way. We remembered we were multidimensional beings in Lemuria, and therefore our DNA was functioning at 50%. Currently, our DNA is functioning at 33 to 35%. So we need to upshift our frequency to get to that 50% where we were in Lemuria. And when we're at 50%, we have lots of other gifts open up to us, including spontaneous healing, telepathy, and all those things that we can do as multidimensional beings, which you know, the Star Mother could demonstrate to us. And by the time civilization got to Atlantis, we'd lost a lot of those tools. Our frequency went down. Our DNA went down, and we started to use outside tools, so outside technologies. So this is where Lemuria, and we're still doing it, we still have the Atlantean influence because we're continually using outside tools to do something.
Right.
Whereas, you know, even in Lemuria, when the Star Mother was, she was really seeding my Akash to remind me of how to do sound, because in coming from another planet, from one planet to the next, that remembering is shut off from the previous planet, and we come completely as newborns and don't know anything. Mm-hmm. So she was there to instruct us, and she reseeded my Akash with how to do sound. So she would take me into a multidimensional space. And she showed me how to play a disc that was sort of an alchemical combination of metal and crystal. Someone confirmed that for me recently. It's gold and crystal, but I think there was something else in there as well besides the gold in the metal part. But it's an alchemical combination of metal and crystal, which... certain frequencies do certain things. So this is why I'm doing it differently to everybody else, because I'm remembering what the Star Mother taught me in Lemuria about sound.
Mm-hmm.
So that was the only tool that we had in Lemuria, and it wasn't really in Lemuria. It was in a multidimensional space, which she opened up to teach me once I had entered the temple. The tools come from Atlantis. just not from Lemuria.
And so what should people do to raise their base chakra out of survival? Will the personal gong recordings help?
The personal gong recordings will definitely help. The personal gong sound bath track, because everything that I do is imbued with my energy. So, so I'm taking people out of that fear. You know, it's about fear. It's about lack, that survival stuff, you know, because it was about, do we have shelter, water, food, personal safety, you know, that's all got to go, folks. That's, you know, we're shifting out of that into abundance. We live in an abundant universe. You know, this is really got to come home to people. People really got to start to recognize this in their lives, and to, you know, every time, you know, some kind of abundance happens in their life, some kind of, you know, what we would call miracle happens in their life, in that moment, we should be expressing gratitude, you know, for what we have received. And then please bring me more, you know, because the more we focus on these positive things, the more they'll come round. The more we, focus on the fearful stuff, the more of that comes round. Mm-hmm. What do you choose to focus on?
Absolutely.
And so Rina's asking, where do you want to channel your energy into, you know?
Yeah, exactly. That's abundance and thriving. She's asking, how have the other chakras changed? So not just the base chakra, the root chakra, but have the other chakras changed as well?
Yes, they're certainly starting to shift and change as well. And that's where the six aspects of the circle of oneness come in as well.
Awesome.
they'll be helping you with the upshift of the chakra frequencies.
So that's all in package A, but can help with that. Awesome. Cool. So Lynn's saying, so then we will be the technology. She said, I've always thought the tech tools were mimicking what we could actually do ourselves.
Yes.
We are remembering, but we think it is supposed to be something outside of ourselves, so we invent a new technology, but it's really us within.
Yes, absolutely, because we are multidimensional beings, and I know that our brains can't comprehend this, because, you know, they're still quite linear, but that's the other thing that the gong sound bath does, is we've got a right and left hemisphere of the brain, where the gong sounds are also creating new neural pathways inside the between the two hemispheres to link them, so they'll actually function as one brain and not two separate hemispheres.
Awesome. No, that's awesome. That's great. Wow. So much is possible.
Oh, well, yeah, when we come out of separation, absolutely, so much is possible.
Yeah, I love it. Great. And so there's so many different benefits from package A, you know, with all of the nine MP3 meditation MP3s, as well as package B, because then you get the personal coaching session with you as well. And then package C with the personal 15-minute gong sound bath track, which I think is like, I think that's going to be one of the key tools for people to assist them, because it's personal to them, you know, it's like, it's custom made for them, specifically their energy and what they're going through and what their higher self is suggesting, you know, for them, so that they can continue to move forward with ease. Right.
Yes, exactly. And this is where it kind of changed for me from doing group sessions, which I still do, and they're lovely. But group sessions I can only do like if you're not far from me. And this is when I asked, how do I reach more people with this? Mm-hmm. This is how they said, this is how you're going to do it with, you know, and you just personalize it for them. So it's like, okay, you know, that's, and then, you know, I don't know about you, but when something's personally made for me, I go, oh,
exactly.
I just love it.
Yeah. Absolutely. I totally agree, you know. And so Maureen's asking, where's the portal in New Zealand, please, as I live there?
Oh, hello, Maureen. Okay. So it's down in the South Island around Milford Sound. But you would have known that. I mean, if you go to Milford Sound, you'd certainly know that it's a very different energy around Milford Sound. Hmm. But in the North Island, you've got Paia, which I also felt was quite a lovely energy. But somewhere in the North Island, you've got the direct descendants of the Lemurian, the original Lemurians who came. Hmm. So I'm sure you, if you live in New Zealand, you'd know about that. The power node is down there in the South Island, Milford Sound.
Awesome. Well, I'm going to be going to Glastonbury, I think, in July. So I'm going to keep my eyes and ears and energy open to see what I, you know, experience. It'll be my first time. So,
I was actually, I took a month off last May, and I was following the Divine Feminine line for myself, and it took me into Glastonbury itself, mm-hmm. with the Mary Magdalene Little Chapel, mm-hmm. And I was I connected with that, and then I sort of, then I walked around to Chalice Well, and I was spent a lot of time in Chalice Well, and I drank the water, and I took some water home with me as well, and then I walked up to the Tor. Mm-hmm. And it was after connecting with all that, I had the most profound vision after that. And I'll just share quickly, you know, I had my white dragon turn up, and it asked me to jump on its back. And it actually took me through the doorway of the Tor. Mm-hmm. And we were, because that's a portal, by the way. Mm-hmm. And then across all these timelines, and I connected. I was then fully connected with the Divine Feminine line, because we talk about the Star Mothers. We don't talk about Star Fathers. There's a reason for that. And of course, women were the spiritual center of Lemurian society, not men. Women were the spiritual center. It was, you know, we were priestesses of Mu, not, you know, there was a priest, mm-hmm. if we wish to call him that. But women were the spiritual center of Lemurian society. And so Glastonbury actually is, has got the original, the one that I knew, the Star Mother that I knew from Lemuria. She is there in a quantum state. Hmm. But then she took me back, way back in time, to the very first planet that was inhabited after we all came through into this universe through the center, the galactic center, mm-hmm. Galaxy. She took me back to the original planet, the original temple of Mu. And the original temple of that planet is no longer inhabited, because those people don't require a physical body anymore. But it is as simple, that temple back then is as simple as the one it was on Mu. Mm-hmm. And as I said, want an image to give you an idea of what I'm seeing is that scene from Search for Spock in the Star Trek movie, mm-hmm. where they're going up the mountain, and if you look at the temple on the planet Vulcan, it is again very simple. It's not ornate buildings. It's not elaborate decoration. It's very simple. And then so then, what I got in touring the south part of England, of course, going to Stonehenge and Avebury and all those places, was what we did in times after that was being spread across the world. The priestesses then built stone circles that were emulating the temple, the original temple of Mu in Lemuria. Right. And then I went across to Ireland, and I really got it in Ireland, because Ireland's one of my favorite places too. I really, you know, visiting the stone circles there, I could really see that this was the case. I felt the energy of the priestesses of Mu very much so on in Ireland as well with the stone circles. So,
wow.
As well as having
the elementals, as you're talking about this, you know, just like,
you know, the elementals sort of came forward the minute my plane touched down at the airport. I could see elementals greeting me in Ireland, and I was like, whoa, am I seeing things or what, you know? But they were, wow. You know, and I hired a car and I was driving around from place to place as I was visiting all these stone circles, and they were there, and it was always a greeting of welcome, priestess of Mu, you know, and it was like, okay, I really get it, guys.
Oh, it's beautiful. Wow. I'm so glad you shared that. It's like, I wonder, you know, for all of us who are watching and listening, you know, it's like, I wonder what this conversation is going to open up for all of us as well, you know?
Yeah. Well, I never know what, and you know, and it's not for me to know, but if I'm prompted to talk about something, then there's a reason for it. So it might only affect one person, or it may affect many, I don't know. But but I do know there is a reason why I'm prompted to speak of my personal experience, which I think, oh my God, is someone going to think I'm nuts?
Well, I think we're all nuts on these calls, so it's okay. You're among company.
You're in good company, huh? Yeah. Okay.
So Maureen says, I feel connected to the Pleiades and Lemurians, as I also visited Glastonbury, Machu Picchu, which were very powerful spots. Also felt power in Athens. And Rina says, really aware of the energy coming through you. Thank you. Had profound experiences in Glastonbury, Stonehenge in 2017. And what you are describing is very much my experience.
Oh, well, there you go. Yeah.
Yeah. Awesome.
Because we did, you know, I mean, visiting the Glastonbury tour, standing on that hill, I could see all of that violence that was there, that was like a layer in the masculine era, you know, in the era of the patriarchy. Mm-hmm. But below that, I could feel another gentle energy, which was the feminine energy. And, you know, as a child, you know, hearing stories about the Isle of Avalon and you know, King Arthur and all of that stuff, you know, I was just really into it, you know, or anything to do with Egypt, I was really into it. So I was aware, even as a child, that not that I had connections, but I was drawn to these places. Mm-hmm. And, you know, as an adult visiting these places, I realized, oh, right, okay, it's because I've had past lives here, you know.
Yeah.
So I've even been to China. I went to China last November and visited China, and I went to a specific mountain where I've had a past life there. But there wasn't any power nodes in China that I know of.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I could say for sure.
Oh, this is awesome. Oh my goodness. I mean, just you're just sharing your stories and sharing your experiences about Glastonbury, and I was like, oh, I'm so excited because I'm going to be going in July to all those places that you just mentioned. And so it's like, oh, I can hardly wait. Stonehenge, Glastonbury, tour, yeah. All of that. So yeah. I'm excited to see what.
I would do it all over again.
Why don't you do a tour? A gong sound bath tour of, you know,
yeah, absolutely.
Places, yeah. Wonderful places, right?
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. I'm working on that one.
Awesome. Good, good, good. All right. So if nobody has any more questions, I mean, like, honestly, we could continue this conversation for hours, I think. I would just like, I would love to continue talking to you about your experiences, your stories, what you've seen, what you've heard, you know, everything about Lemuria that you're talking about. It's like, oh, I just like, wow, you know so much. You know, it's like, please continue to share. But I also know that, you know, I'm fading now, fading a little bit.
I think everyone else is too. I could talk for hours. I can guarantee I could talk for hours.
It's your morning. And look, I realized after I changed the time, I was like, oh my God, thank goodness I changed the time. At least it's like, you know, a decent hour for her now instead of like 5 o'clock in the morning. It's like, oh my goodness. I didn't realize. But yeah, it's morning for you, so you're wide awake. Me, it's like it's 1 o'clock in the morning for me now. So it's like, yeah.
Yep. Well, you'll be going to bed holding all this high frequency energy.
Oh, yes, so. Absolutely. So there's a message here from somebody, no name, but they said there's a gate when going up to the Tor. The moment I opened it, the rain began to hail and the wind started blowing real hard. I continued to the top, actually crawling so the wind would not blow me away. I got there and the wind and the rain let up. It's very interesting.
Wow.
I've heard of stuff like that too. It can be, and it's quite steep to walk up there.
It is quite steep, yes.
So you were determined. Good for you.
Well, you know, you take it in stages. You do a little bit and then, you know, you sort of stop and catch your breath and then you do a bit more and eventually you get to the top. And once you get to the top, it's like, oh.
Yeah, yeah. I can just imagine. Yeah, absolutely. So I just wanted to remind everyone again about the three special packages that Maya has available for us. The package A, which is the 9 MP meditation MP3s, plus. And then package B, which is everything in package A, plus the personal session with Maya. Mm-hmm. And then package C, which is everything in package A and B, plus the 15-minute personal gong bath. Sound bath, which I think is going to be really helpful. So please do take a look and see which one resonates with you. And just know that, you know, because, and this is not, I'm not like trying to scare you or anything, but 2019 is going to be more of the same of 2018. So I know for myself, I'm going to need tools. I just know that for myself, I'm going to do my inner work. And it's going to be really important for all of us to do our inner work. And sometimes we do need tools to assist us to so that the inner work can integrate more with more ease, right?
Yes, absolutely. With grace and ease, and we come out of the struggle because we don't need the struggle anymore. And just like we don't need karma anymore, and it's you know, it's flowing.
Yeah,
we get into the flow.
We're getting into the flow, and it can, you know. And my intention for you all is that the flow this year is easier, more graceful, and, you know, so that you can have joy with it as well. You know, joy and peace and the abundance that goes with it, and just a lot more fun. And it'll be interesting to see what how 2019 shows up and what occurs in 2020.
I'm excited.
Yeah, I'm excited. Exactly. oh goodness, I will take a look at that. I think I should be fine by tomorrow, Lynn. Thank you so much. I'm like determined, fine by tomorrow. Yes. So again, thank you so much, Maya. This was so brilliant. I just absolutely loved it. I think you should write a book. You know, because obviously you have like so many stories and so much experience and so much information to share. You know, you should definitely write a book. And so we can all, you know, hear more. But you'll definitely have to come back again so that we can continue this conversation. And yeah, this was so much fun. And next time, I won't be sick. So yeah. then we can talk for more, for longer and longer and longer.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, thank you so much for having me on your show. And thank you for this opportunity to speak to your community. And thank you to everyone for being here on this call.
And thank you everyone for, you know, even the technical glitch that we had today. It's like, what the heck was that? But it all worked out. So yay. So thank you for being here. Thank you for your questions and your comments and your feedback. You know, so, and I just love hearing your stories too about, you know, your experiences in Glastonbury and everywhere else. So it's like, wow, I need to do some more traveling. So thank you so much, everyone. And until next time, may you continue to be blessed with an abundance of joy, peace, love, happiness, prosperity, and radiant health, including myself. Yeah, radiant health. Much love and blessings always. Bye for now.
Bye.
Bye. Bye, everyone.